Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome to eLaborate Topics. I am your host, Tywana Wilson. In this episode, we are going to talk about one of my favorite things, and that is the topic of mentorship, gaining mentors and becoming one. We will explore various mentor models, including informal versus formal mentoring, paid versus free mentoring, and yes, there is such a thing called paid mentoring. And we will go over the importance of mentoring in your career and why it's critical for you and how to transition from mentee to mentor. But before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I am a medical laboratory scientist that has been in the field for over 15 years. I started off as a generalist in a general lab and a reference lab working third shift. And within about 4 years, I transitioned to my first documented leadership role as a supervisor of a pediatric hospital laboratory. And I've been in leadership roles ever since, from managing a laboratory, from being a system director for chemistry and toxicology, which is my current role. I've also served as a director for a mobile diagnostics program, which included radiology and laboratory. So with this degree field, you can move in the laboratory, you can move up, you can move outside of the laboratory. It is endless. I am in Cincinnati, Ohio, but I cover the Cincinnati, Ohio, and the Dayton areas. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of preference about myself in case if you are just joining the show, if this is your first show, thank you for listening in. Please make sure that you share it with a fellow medical laboratory scientist or medical laboratory professional. So I wanted to kick this episode off with a great quote from one of my mentors. I've never met her, but I know she's a fantastic woman doing some fantastic things. And it's a quote by Oprah Winfrey. And it says, "A mentor is someone who allows you to see the hope inside yourself. A mentor is someone who allows you to know that no matter how dark the night, in the morning, joy will come. A mentor is someone who allows you to see the higher part of yourself when sometimes it becomes hidden from your own view." And I love that quote because that's what real mentors do. They help you to see stuff inside yourself that you might not have seen inside yourself. They help you to see things that are possible. They help you to dream bigger. They help you to conquer your goals. They help you to move to that next level. They are able to see some of the potential pitfalls that you might have in your track that you might not be able to see. So let's just talk about what exactly is mentorship or mentoring. By definition, mentorship is the guidance provided by a mentor, especially an experienced person in a company or educational institution. And to me, that the dictionary definition is pretty generic. I like the leader's version of what mentorship is, and I got this from John Maxwell's book, Becoming a Person of Influence. And it says, "Empowerment provided by a leader that includes giving your influence to others with the purpose of investing in their lives so that they can reach the highest levels in their personal and organizational growth." That's what, to me, that's what a mentor is. It's that empowerment that's provided by the leader. It's giving their influence. Because really what mentorship is and what mentoring is influence and it's access. Access to information, access to getting you into rooms that you might not have been able to get in previously, access to positions. They are leveraging their influence and access. So I love that. Another one of John Maxwell's famous quotes is, he says a leader, but we can apply a mentor, is one that knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. And so that's, again, that's very important for the work of a mentor. Why do we need it? Why does it work? Well, quite frankly, it helps lessen the learning curve for you. It helps you do not make the mistakes that you can make. So we learn best from observing successful and unsuccessful models. So when we see people do things that are successful and is working in their professional life and in their careers, we want to model that, right? You know, but it also lets us see if somebody is doing something that doesn't work out very well, they make a decision that is not very popular. It also let us see, how did they handle it? How can we learn from that mistake? We learn faster and are more effective from people who we respect and trust. And that's a fact. If you respect somebody and trust somebody, you're going to listen to the expertise that they offer you. You're going to listen to the feedback that they give you. And so it allows you to be more open and more willing. Mentoring is about relationships. And the more intact the relationship is, the more successful the mentoring is going to be. Our learning is accelerated if we master something difficult. And so have you ever felt that feeling of pride that you get when you graduated from high school? You know, that was something difficult. It took you all of those years to go through elementary school, middle school, and then finally get to high school and graduate. Or to go to college and get a degree, complete the medical laboratory science or technician program, I'm sure was a difficult task as well. And so when you did that, you felt a sense of accomplishment. And when you work with a mentor and they challenge you to meet some of those difficult goals, you feel that accomplishment, right? And that allows you to feel more connected with them as well as your mentor. There are two types of mentoring relationships that I'll talk about today in this podcast. One being the informal mentoring relationship. And in that, you don't really have, your goals are not really specified or outcomes. You kind of self-select who you want to be paired with. It occurs long term. You have somebody that's been in your life that's been mentoring you for years. There's no expert training or support offered for the mentor. So it's just kind of they go by their experience. They train you on what they know. And then you kind of go from there. It's somebody that you have trust with. You respect them and their authority. And then with informal mentoring from an organization standpoint, there are indirect benefits. When you are mentored as a professional, there are benefits that the organization reaps in that you start to excel in your role. You start to think another way, depending on what kind of mentor that you have, what they are challenging you to do. You may step up for projects. So I've had several informal mentors in my life who's been in my life for long term. For example, one of my mentors, she's a nurse by background. She's also an educator. And when I got into the laboratory industry, especially when I was in transition from reference lab to hospital, I was dealing with nurses more often. And as we know, nurses think differently than us technical minds in the laboratory. And so what I wanted to do is I really wanted to understand the way that they think. I wanted to be able to communicate with them more successfully, because the way that I communicate and like to be communicated with that technical, it wasn't really working with communicating with our nurses and doctors. So finding a way to be able to communicate with them in a way that they would receive it. And so I got with one of my nurse mentors. It was informal relationship. She's very active and involved in the community, an influential leader. And I asked her to, you know, kind of serve as my mentor as I navigated through the healthcare landscape. And she did. We didn't have any goals. There wasn't any time element to it or anything like that. She's still mentoring me today. Then there's formal mentoring, where you have established goals, measurable outcomes. The pairing is more strategic. So it may not be somebody that you self-selected. It'll be somebody that's paired through a formal process. There are specific or specified length of mentoring engagement. So this mentoring relationship could be scheduled to last for 6 months or 12 months or a year and a half, a specified time. There's expert training that's provided for the mentor. So it's not like they are just, hey, I'm your mentor. They have went through some training to think through what a mentor does, responsibilities of a mentor, expectations. So they've went through formal training, and then it has direct organizational benefits. So let me give you an example. When I was working for a pediatric hospital, I actually participated in a formal mentoring program. The organization, they implemented this mentoring program in order to pair up leaders, manager level and above leaders, with frontline staff from all across the organization. It was housed up under the diversity and inclusion department, and they took so many workers per year that was able to go and be involved with the program. So I served in the program. The first year I served in the program, it was a year-long program. They provided the mentee with training and the mentor with training. And you got to pick what kind of mentor that you wanted. So in the first year as a mentee, I wanted a Caucasian man who was not of a technical background. The reason I wanted a Caucasian man, I'm an African-American female. My experiences is going to be very different than an experience of a Caucasian man, correct? And so that's what I wanted. And so I was paired with a Caucasian man that had a military background, that came from industry before he was working from that organization. He actually worked for Procter & Gamble insecurity. And so his thinking was way different from my thinking. But that's what I wanted to. I wanted to get into his mind, see how he was thinking, see how I could apply that to my laboratory, to my everyday life, because my staff was a diverse staff. And in order to be able to relate to somebody, you have to start getting around people of a diverse background, of a background that's different from your own. And so he taught me a lot of things about looking at things from a more of a business lens, which was very helpful for me because that was my first supervisory role, if you will. And so being able to look at my budgets, being able to look at loss, being able to think differently about my staff. And so we were paired for a year, and it was an awesome experience. The next year in that same program, I served as a mentor. This time I was paired with an African-American young lady who was an admin assistant in our heart center. And she was looking to gain leadership skills. She was looking to move to the next level. So they had ladders, admin one, admin two, admin three in her particular department. So she was looking to get her portfolio together to move to the next admin two position. And so that was our goal. That was our focus for the 1 year that we were connected, was to get her portfolio, get her interview skills together, get her prepared so that she's able to move to the next level two. And I was able to share with her some of my leadership skills, some of my observations from being in the organization and leadership, and coach her and mentor her on things that she could do better. And after that year, she did apply to get her admin two to be able to move to that category. And she was successful in being able to do that. Now, we did not stay connected after that formal relationship was over, but for the purpose of being connected for that year and working towards the goals, it was successful. When I think of other formal mentoring relationships, I also think about my mentoring relationship with my mentee, who is a fellow medical laboratory scientist. And we were connected through a formal mentoring program at the University of Cincinnati. They had a mentoring program in their Office of Diversity. And what happened is I was a manager at the same pediatric hospital. She came over to the laboratory to bring some flyers from the program. And when she brought those flyers over, she was supposed to get a tour and we were going to talk to her a little bit about the laboratory. She expressed an interest in the lab, but she wasn't in a program. Well, when she got to the laboratory, granted it was hot, it was summertime. She had flip-flops on, she had capris on, and then there was just no way we could do the tour on that day. She wasn't prepared. And so I told her, because she looked like she was eager to learn, I told her, I said, well, you're going to have to come back. You're not prepared to do a tour today, and we're just going to have to reschedule this. And I told her, I said, I think you would benefit from having a mentor from the College of Allied Health's diversity mentoring program, where they pair you with a professional that's already in the field working. I told her I was a mentor in that program, but I already had a mentee. But so I told her to, you know, check it out. So she went and she checked it out and applied for the mentoring program. And I got a call from the program director and said, Monia wants you to be her mentor. Are you open to taking on another mentee? And so needless to say, I did. And that was in 2012. And what we did, that program was 4 year. And we worked on her application to apply for the medical lab science program. We did some mock interviewing and we did a lot of things to get her prepped for the program. And once she got into the program, we also discussed strategies in regards to her clinical rotations and hospitals that she should request to have her rotations at, based off of goals and my experience of being in the laboratory. And so we, our strategy was that she should work for a level one trauma center so that she can gain that experience early. She can gain those technical skills and confidence early being in a high volume hospital. And so she did. She worked for level one trauma facility. She was able to start there early as a tech assistant before finishing school. So she was able to go ahead and get lab experience. And then after a couple of years of doing that, then she was able to work in other labs, smaller labs, you know, and work on a regional level. And so we have stayed connected. That started off as a formal relationship in 2012. And here we are in 2020 and we are still connected. So it transitioned from a formal relationship to now it's more so of an informal mentoring relationship. She's been there for my wedding. She's been there for the christening of my daughter. It is, you know, I've been there for her wedding. And really, she's like family. It moved from something that was structured to something that was informal. And now, even though she's not really my mentee anymore, because, you know, that relationship from the formal is over, I still say she's my mentee. She's like my little sister. And she's my sorority sister. And we've just been connected ever since. So, you know, these relationships can stay, or once the time piece is over, then that can be it. There are four types of mentoring that I'll talk about here in this particular podcast. Enriched, informal. Enriched, informal. So what this is, the pairs typically self-select. So that would be me selecting a mentee, i.e. when I selected the nurse to be my mentor.
and they recognize the practice is mentoring and it's more focused and guidance. So at least one person has been experienced with mentoring principles or had some training along the way. So it's not just your typical informal where we're going to be, I'll be your mentor, I'll give you my expertise and we'll go from there. It's, I do know how mentoring works. I do have some mentoring training. I'm familiar with mentoring concepts. And although we won't have a time piece to it or, you know, make it that formal, it is enriched. So that's what enriched informal is. The second type that I'll cover is cross difference. Cross difference is where you pair the mentor-mentee pairs with people who seem very different. So you would say, when I had the Caucasian man that served as my mentor, we appeared very different on the surface. He was Caucasian from an industry background, military background. I'm African American, no military experience. That's not my background. I've not worked in industry. I've worked in healthcare from a technical background. So we were very different. And he was at least 15 years older than me. So again, that's one of those cross difference type of relationships. He was very different than what I had. And it doesn't have to be limited to racial background. It could be economic background. It could be cultural beliefs. It could be your educational background. Just on the surface where it seems that the people are very different. We also have e-mentoring or virtual. And with this pandemic, I would say you would have seen this particular type of mentoring emerge, where the mentoring, this is fairly newer, but it relies on technology, email, phone calls, video for contact. There's not that live component of let's go to Starbucks and meet for coffee every week. It's let's jump on a Zoom call, or let's do a Zoom chat, let's connect via Zoom every week, or let's connect via Skype or phone call for our mentoring. And this is awesome because it allows you to have mentors that's not in your area, not in your geographic location. You can have a mentor on the opposite side of the world from you and connect with them via a virtual way or email correspondence. So this is one that you'll see happen more often. People may or may not refer to it as mentoring, but if I have someone, so for example, if you are involved with the ASCP's mentorship program, check it out. If you haven't, I would strongly recommend that you do. It'll put you into contact with other professionals in the industry. But that is one where it's using a virtual component. You can connect via email or Skype or phone calls. So that one is more of a e-mentoring or virtual. And then there's also group mentoring. And what this does is it links mentors to small groups of people. So you may have 8 to 10 mentees with 1 or 2 mentors in that group. And they choose a theme or specific topic. So I'm all about leadership, practical leadership that you can use and readily apply. So we may cover getting ready for a public speech, right? So our whole maybe mentorship relationship, you know, it may be for a term of 6 months, and maybe all we do is focus on public speaking. You know, or it could be, you know, even shorter, where we are focusing on running effective meetings, preparing for that, you know, get working on a specific theme, and that I am leveraging my experience and expertise for you to benefit from. Remember, mentorship is influence and access. And so when you think about mentorship, I'm going to throw this out there because some people don't, and I've heard this, so I want to throw it out there, that mentorship is not always free. So I want you to get that out of your mind. A lot of times when you see mentorship or mentoring, yeah, it is free, but not all mentoring is free. So there is free mentoring, and there's also mentoring at a fee. And when I look at some of these various types of mentoring, your virtual and your group mentoring, all of these can come at a fee. They could be fee or free. So let me give you an example of a fee-based mentorship program. So I'm a John Maxwell coach. I have exclusive access to John Maxwell, especially when we meet for our conferences that we have twice a year. It allows me to be in the room with him, ask him questions, pick his brain. And so that mentorship comes at a fee. You know, I'm not getting access just because he likes Tywana Wilson. I'm getting access and influence because I'm paying a fee to be in the John Maxwell team. Another example could be, I'm also a small business owner. And as a small business owner, there are some things in my business, especially since it has a virtual component, you know, leadership training, I can offer virtual and things of that nature. Some of the entrepreneurial things that I need to think about, email marketing and things of that nature, that's not my background. My background is science, you know, so some of those concepts don't come natural to me. So I may have to pay for a mentor or be in a mentoring group because the people in my circle don't know those concepts. The people in my circle most of them are like me. You know, they're technical in background. They can give you corporate. But when it comes to the entrepreneurial space, which is a totally different thinking, I have to get in a circle or get in a group with people that have that information. And so that's when you may have to consider the pay model versus the free model. And another example would be speakers. So those people who want to be speakers on large stages, you have to get in an environment where you are around and getting mentorship from people who are able to command a large stage. So I know the very popular speaker, Les Brown, does mentorship at a fee. And so those people who desire to command stages like Les Brown or be on the same platform as him are paying a fee. They are not just getting there just because they're good, right? So, you know, you have to think about when you need certain skill sets to accomplish certain goals, do you have people in your circle that have that expertise? Do you have people in your sphere of influence that has that expertise that you need? If you don't, then you're going to have to look at a model that might be different than a traditional one. So I just want you to consider that model, the fee versus free model. There are many benefits of mentorship, but mentorship really is a win-win situation for everybody involved. From the mentee perspective, they get to observe and interact with experts. They can receive feedback and encouragement. And it reduces the learning curve. Who doesn't want to reduce their learning curve and be able to learn something very quickly, especially when things are rapidly changing? I mean, I think the pandemic taught us that if you had never done remote work before, then you were thrust into remote work. If you never used Zoom before, you were thrust into Zoom. So who doesn't want to be able to learn something very quickly, especially as times change? And being a mentee paired with a good mentor will be able to do that for you. Mentors have the ability to recognize and develop talent. So this is important for them to be able to recognize and develop talent. And it gives them the opportunity to increase their professional network and pay it forward. So as you are mentoring folks, you are able to increase your professional network of people that you know. And from an organization or lab standpoint or business standpoint, it speaks to being able to develop your employees, increase commitment of participants, because if you are pouring into them, allowing them to participate in mentoring relationships, if you have formal relationships at your organization, people are feeling like you are investing in them and you're giving them that opportunity to get practical information that they can use. And it also gives you a recruiting edge. So for the organization that I work for, the hospital that I work for, that had a formal mentoring program, I'll tell you, it was one of the best organizations that I worked for because they had those kind of benefits. You know, instead of them saying, let us come up with all of the things to, you know, pour into our employees, engage our employees, let's let the employees to employees be able to benefit from each other. We'll create the framework, but we'll give them the opportunity to be able to learn from each other. And it did. It brought satisfaction between employees, and it allowed them to want to stay for an organization that was willing to invest in them. So there are specific leader mentor benefits. So again, it allows you to share your experience across generations and backgrounds, enhance management competencies, so you are able to enhance your management competencies, access to influential leaders. Again, mentorship is about access and influence. The opportunity to participate in diverse projects. So when you are in a mentorship relationship, because your mentor is going to give you access, it may allow you to sit on committees that you haven't been able to sit on in the past. Maybe you're now able to go on CAP inspections that you might not have been able to go on in the past. You may be able to learn other regulatory or joint commission concepts that you might not have been able to learn in the past. Maybe your laboratory is going through standardization, so you're able to participate and give feedback into that. Also, you get insight into corporate politics. So when I was at one organization, I had an informal mentoring relationship with an executive who was in a high role at the organization. And my department interacted with her department. And my department was fairly new at the time. But what she did is she gave me insight into ways that I could brand my department, how I could grow my department. I was the first director of that department. I hired my staff. And so it was mine to make my own. And having her insight into things that have worked with the organization, things the organization was receptive to, was helpful for me to lessen my learning curve so I wouldn't try and implement ideals that was so far left that the organization wouldn't be able to receive them. So insight into corporate politics and advocacy. It always helps when you have somebody speaking for you when you are not in the room. And that's what mentorship allows you to do. It allows you to be paired with somebody and they will be able to speak for you and your abilities even when you are not there. So you may be thinking, where can I find mentors that will support me? It all sounds good about, you know, mentors and why I need one and why it's important, but where can I find one? Well, you can find mentors in various places. It can be your employer. It could be social organizations. So if you're in fraternities, sororities, church and religious groups, so, you know, there are tons of people who can serve as mentors in your church or religious groups, community volunteer organizations. If you're on boards, that's another way. Anytime you are, you know, serving with a group, then that's a good way or place to find mentors. And also look in your industry. You know, there are probably industry experts who are willing to serve as your mentor if you just have to ask them. So these are some ways, but not an exhaustive list. So, and all of these are probably going to be free connections, except for the industry experts. That may or may not be a free mentorship opportunity. So, but your employer, social organization. So if you do work with your local YWCA or Red Cross or, you know, some of the other organizations, that would be an opportunity to find mentors who will support you. So after you have participated in the mentoring relationship, of course, it's time to give back. It's time to pay forward. pay it forward, and it's time for you to transition from being a mentee to mentor. And so sometimes you might feel like you have to reach a certain level in your career to be a mentor, and that's not true. We can all learn something from somebody else. If you have value, you can add value to somebody else. You are ready to be a mentor, and you, all you need is the heart to serve, the heart to want to help your mentee accomplish your goals, give them access, and utilize and leverage your influence for them. So when I talked about my mentee, Monia, who I met in for the medical laboratory science program, she was not in a managerial role when she started serving as a mentor. She had reaped the benefits of being in the program, of being a mentee. She knew what our relationship was like, so she could take some of those things that worked really well and add them into her mentoring relationship. And some of the things that was like, okay, this could have worked better, she could have tweaked those and added those into her relationship with her mentee. So you don't have to have a formal title in order to be a mentor. You don't have to be qualified to be a mentor. And what I mean by qualified is I got to be a manager, I got to have 15 years of work experience. That's not the case at all. So there's no time frame needed to start serving as a mentor. So that's good news. You can get started right away as long as you got to have a heart for people and a heart to serve. However, share your influence, power, and opportunities. So you have to be willing to share your influence, power, and opportunities. Make sure you set mutual expectations. So as from a mentee perspective, you want to make sure that your expectations of your mentor are clear, and vice versa. You don't want to be promising somebody you're going to get them on the stage with Les Brown and you know that's not something you can do. Don't try and get with a mentor because you feel like they can get you on the stage with Les Brown either. It has to be two people wanting to add value to each other. I want to learn from you. You are willing to teach me and show me, but I am going to be respectful of your time as a mentee, and I'm going to show up prepared. Because I appreciate you leveraging your time. Don't overcommit. So, you know, it's easy to say yes. Yes, I'll be your mentor. Yes, I'll be here for you. And you know that you don't have time. You know that you are overextended. That's one of the worst things you can do, is tell somebody you're going to be their mentor and spend time with them and invest in them, and then they can't catch up with you. You are missing, or you don't have time. So know when to say yes, but also know when to say no. Open, honest communication is a must. So you have to be honest in a mentoring relationship. As we know, mentoring is about relationships. It's about trust. And if you are not open and honest, then the mentoring relationship will not be successful. So make sure you're open and honest with what you can do, what you plan to do, the time that you have available, and your expertise. Remember to always add value. It's about the value, 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 because that's why we are here. We should be people of service. And remember to always pay it forward. So I love, love, love mentoring. I love the value that it brings to other people. And so together we are better. We can build the next generation of leaders by lifting as we climb. So I hope you have enjoyed this episode of Elaborate Topics, where we covered mentoring is critical to your success, especially in the laboratory. I would suggest, even if you have a diverse group of mentors, make sure that one of those mentors is a laboratory professional, because there are things that only a laboratory professional can be able to share with you, some insight that they can share with you. I think you should have mentors from a variety of industries, but make sure you have at least one that's lab. And that's the one thing that I can say that I did not have that I think would have been beneficial in helping me to lessen my learning curve in the laboratory industry a lot earlier. So if you don't have a mentor, make sure that you go and find a mentor. And if you have benefited from years of mentoring, then it's time for you to step up and transition from mentee to mentor. So thank you for listening in to today's episode of Elaborate Topics. You can listen to this episode and future episodes on directimpactbroadcasting.com. You can also go to the Direct Impact Broadcasting Facebook page and LinkedIn pages, as well as listen on your favorite podcast platform, including iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, to find your favorite show. You can follow me and stay connected with me on LinkedIn, Tywana Wilson, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Coach T. Wilson, or you could check out my website, CoachTWilson.com. If you are in need of leadership training, you can go to TrendyEliteLLC.com. Join us next week in the lab, and until then, have an amazing day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.